Well, let's pray before we think about those words together, and it'd be great if you could keep the Bibles open at Acts chapter 2. Let's pray. Lord God, as we meet years away and miles away from Jerusalem, we hear words of promise spoken then that your Spirit was not just for that time and place, but was a promise for all those whom you call. Therefore, by that same Spirit, open our minds and hearts, that our lives might be on fire for you. Amen. Well, when you hear someone speak or give an instruction, when you see an advert or a sign, when you read an article, you have a choice. Will you trust what is being said? Will you heed the warning? Will you act? Will you change? I remember being out for lunch near Chichester, and because of the advice of my brother, who is local, we'd parked in a car park a road back from the Shore Road. There are signs at the Shore Road, as you can see, that say, "This road floods each tide." This did not stop the people who were eating at the next table to us parking on that road. They had just assumed that the tide was going out. Just inside the door of the Anchor Bleu, there is a chalkboard stating the next high tide, a warning, which I assume they didn't see or saw and ignored. It was when the table closest to the window realized that one of their cars needed moving that the couple next to us investigated the state of the road. A few minutes later, returning, the man with slightly wet feet. We live in a world where we are constantly fed information, where we worry about fake news, where there's often doubt in our mind that is it really what it seems? Our opportunity today is to hear from the book of Acts, one of the first proclamations, announcements, and to see and to respond to it. So the question is, as you've heard it read, and as we think about it together, what will you hear? What will you see? What will you do? As we move through these verses in Acts chapter 2, we're going to hear the story of Jesus. We're going to hear how Peter explains that story as fulfilling the hope of the Old Testament scriptures. And we're going to hear how this declaration of who Jesus is demands a response. It will help you and it will help me if you do keep those Bibles open or reopen them to Acts chapter 2 so that we can explore together. It's on page 1093 in the church Bibles. So look down at verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say." Our passage begins with Peter stepping up to the plate, becoming the Holy Spirit-filled spokesperson for the followers of Jesus. Notice how he stands, he raises his voice, and he addresses. This is an opportunity for Peter for correcting a wrong assumption. This is an opportunity for communicating the real good news of Jesus. Even though they've not had the most favorable response from all elements of the crowd so far in the opening verses of the chapter, some of the crowd accuse them of being drunks. They say, "Look, you're just not making sense. What's going on?" But Peter speaks courteously to them. As they listened, now we listen. We see two tracks through these words. Peter's telling of the story of Jesus, and his gathering of Old Testament writings to explain. So Jesus' story and Old Testament writings. This is a proclamation of Jesus, and Peter wants to make sure that they have the key markers of his identity. Jesus is attested to by miracles, wonders, and signs. He basically says to the crowd, "You already know this. There has already been much excitement around this person, Jesus. Jesus died on the cross, was raised to life, he has been exalted to heaven, and he has sent the Spirit." Jesus' time on earth had left many with stories to share of healing, of miraculous power. And Peter wanted the crowd to understand that these things were by God's power, and that the same power was available in the Holy Spirit. When you think about Jesus, take time to make sure that you've met the real Jesus, communicated by those who spent time with him and recorded for us in the pages of the Bible. The words in Acts chapter 2 are not every word spoken on that day. The sermon was probably quite long. But we're told later that there were many other words. But these words recorded for us give us the shape of the story. What is it that's important to know? Look down at verse 23, the second half of that verse. What's key for understanding the story of Jesus? Well, he was put him to death by nailing him to the cross, but God raised him, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. See, the preachers of Acts simply proclaimed and bore witness to the resurrection. Jesus' death and rising are key moments in understanding who Jesus is and what he came to do. It is because of who he is, it is because of his status, that the cross is not the end. As I heard Marshall puts it, if we ask why death could not hold back Jesus, Peter's reply would be that Jesus was the Messiah, the anointed one of God, and that the Messiah could not be held by death. If you were retelling the story of someone's life, what would you include? Perhaps you've got to that moment in your family where you've needed to prepare a eulogy for a loved one. What would you include in their story? As you think about that, have you understood why Peter has chosen these points to speak about Jesus? This is key. Orator, the 6th century poet and subdeacon, writes this. Innocent, Jesus was hung from a tree, and the burden of the tree of Adam was removed. Thus the wound of the unrighteous Adam became the medicine of God. Let me read that again. Innocent, he was hung from a tree, and the burden of the tree of Adam was removed. Thus the wound of the unrighteous Adam became the medicine of God. He's picking up what we've already looked at together recently in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where it says, "For since death came from a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive." Do you remember being in Team Adam or Team Christ? In the defeat of death, there is significance for humanity, not just for one person. As Peter goes on in verses 32 to 33, if you look down, "God raised who? This Jesus to life. And we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of the Father, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear." the shape of the story of Jesus soars, falls, rises. There is life in all its fullness, miracles and wonders, then a cruel death, then glorious victory over death, and a place at the right hand of God the Father. Sisters and brothers, are you captivated by the story of Jesus? Have you allowed his life, death, and resurrection to impact your daily life? How we see things, how we read a situation and its importance affects our responses to it. I heard the story of a new curate, John, who was walking down the street one day when he notices Nathan, a boy he recognizes from church, trying to press a doorbell on the opposite side of the street. Now, Nathan is very small and the doorbell is too high for him to reach. After watching the boy's efforts for some time, John decides to be helpful. He crosses the street and firmly presses the bell. Crouching down to Nathan's level, John smiles and asks, "And now what, little man?" To which Nathan replies with a beaming grin, "Now we run." John thought he was being helpful, how he read that situation, but he got it completely wrong. In this passage of Acts, there are a couple of quotations from the Old Testament. These verses, recorded hundreds of years before Jesus' earthly ministry, are applied by Peter and the earthly Christians again and again to the reality of Jesus' life and the new life of his followers. They say they see these words as a new way, from a new perspective. They see the images and the themes in Scripture they knew and apply them to Jesus. They say, "This is that. You've read it in the Old Testament. We see it in Jesus." So how does this second track, the Old Testament quotes, how do they enliven the story? Well, we see verses from the Psalms and the prophet Joel. Peter uses them to explain the continuity of this faith community with the work of God in the past, and also what God has promised for the future. So back in verse 17, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people." The time in history is now located as the last days. Here there is an urgency, a change in the atmosphere. Jesus has worked miracles, and now by the Holy Spirit there are signs and wonders. The crowd has just witnessed a miracle of hearing the good news of Jesus in their own languages, and the Holy Spirit has empowered the disciples to be bold for Christ. There's a reminder too of the miracles and work of Jesus. In him, the signs of the last days begin to be seen. It is with these things combined that there can be hope that in verse 21, "And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Peter is using the prophet to speak to the conversation with the crowd, urging them to link to turning the Lord, words they've heard from the prophets of old, to turning to Jesus. Then two quotations from the Psalms, if you look down at verses 25 to 28 and in verse 34 too. "Those listening on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem, for those listening, King David was a hero of the faith, a man after God's heart, a leader, a warrior." And Peter essentially says, you know those times when David speaks about a special bond with God, about confidence in eternity? Well, that, it finds its true and full realization in the person of Jesus. The section from Psalm 110 becomes a significant example for the early church of how the Messiah had special status in the context of heavenly power. And both sections here make sense in being applied to Jesus because David died. The hope of new life and eternal life makes sense when we see Jesus rise from the dead. We began by thinking about signs, words that often need a response. They can change how we act, even how we view the world. And that is the same for the people who are listening, those in the crowd. And I pray that it is the same for us too. The message is presented. Jesus is the Messiah, the chosen one of God. He has defeated death and offers a way for forgiveness and new life. In Acts, the crowd are cut to the heart. The old translations used to say, cut to the quick. They know they need to respond, and therefore they ask in verse 37, what shall we do? Hearing the message of Jesus is not just meant to be interesting, not meant to be just diverting for an hour on Sunday morning, but it's meant to bring transformation as we respond. Peter responds to the crowd in Acts. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The word repent speaks of thinking differently. Change after being with, a new direction that affects all aspects of life. And to mark that change, they are challenged to be baptized. And there is new life in the Spirit, a work of transformation. Well, that was then. Yet even now, Jesus is still at work today by his Spirit. Through the words that came to the crowd nearly 2,000 years ago, we hear the challenge. Have we responded? What do we think, feel, as we hear those words? If you have never committed your life to following Jesus in the light of his good news of triumph over death, forgiveness, and a new life, today, Pentecost, would be a good day to start. Perhaps you've made a decision to follow Jesus before, perhaps even years ago. But your daily life isn't impacted. Where with the Spirit's life might you change after being with Jesus? Friends, if you are not aware of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life day by day, I'm going to pray for us that that would happen in a moment. But might you pray every day for the gift to be poured out again, not because we haven't received, but often because we haven't noticed, so that our whole lives might be alive to Christ, alive to the needs of the world, and transformed from the inside out. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection is not news to be ignored. It is an adventure into which we are invited. So let me pray. Lord God, as we've heard words from Acts chapter 2 this morning, we heard words first spoken by prophets and psalmists, a promise of your Spirit to be poured out on women and men, on young and old, so that there might be a whole people, a community of faith, a body of Christ, a family of the church, alive to you, conscious of your guiding and empowering presence, aware of the needs of a needy world, and strengthened to those things that God calls us to. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.